From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's administration has just finalized a new rule allowing states greater discretion in distributing food aid. The rule is likely to result in hundreds of thousands of Americans losing access to food stamps by the middle of next year through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Currently, more than 36 million Americans rely on food assistance through SNAP. The new rules will tighten the work requirements and take into account the cost of utilities in determining eligibility for food stamps. Advocacy groups estimate the change will eliminate benefits for at least 700,000 people. We turn to Frank Tamborello, the Executive Director of Hunger Action LA, for more. Welcome to the program, Frank.
Good afternoon, Sonali.
So these particular rule change has already gone through the public comment process. I understand public comments closed on December 2nd, and the Trump administration is moving forward. The same week that all eyes are on the impeachment process, it seems as though this has just kind of slipped through the cracks. But it's a huge change that will affect the very people that Trump claims he is in favor of. Can you explain what these rules are? How will they rewrite the eligibility?
Yeah, and just in time for Christmas, right? Telling people that they're going to be getting less food assistance. So we're actually talking about two different proposals here. And not to make things more complicated, but there's actually a third one. The first one, and the one that is going to take effect, the one they announced the final rule on, is that they're taking away the state's rights to change some of the work requirements. And these particular work requirements for receiving food benefits apply to people who are from 18 to 50 years old, who are not disabled, and who do not have any dependent children. Now, there's actually a rule that if you fall in that category, you can only get food assistance for 3 months out of any 3-year period, unless you're working 20 hours a week. So from the start, it kind of defeats the point of food assistance, because you're being required to work in order to get it. And the people who usually need it most are people who aren't working right now for whatever reason. Well, this rule was put into place 25 years ago during welfare reform. And what's happened since then is that the federal government, under Democratic and Republican administrations, have allowed states to waive areas with high unemployment. So if there's a particular part of your state that had a higher unemployment rate than another, and it was over a certain percentage, they would waive this requirement so that people who couldn't find jobs would at least be able to eat. What the Trump administration is doing is taking away the right of states to waive this work requirement, and so they're going to be reimposing this work restriction. Again, we're talking about, they're called able-bodied adults without dependents, or people who are from 18 to 50, and they would be required to be working 20 hours a week to receive assistance. And some of the problems, as you can imagine, with a rule like this are that we have a lot of people now working flexible hours. People who work at Target and Walmart are always getting phone calls where they're being told that, your hours are changed for this week, so people can't even guarantee that they're going to get those hours. But there's a lot of other people who are really impacted. Even though they say the unemployment numbers are low, that's for certain communities. And in some communities, especially communities of people of color, the unemployment rate is actually higher. This rule is going to impact people getting out of prison who are looking for work. It's going to have a disproportionate effect on women, who comprise about 60% of that group. And it's going to, it's actually punishing people who do find work but just don't happen to have 20 hours. So they'll be restricted to a 3-month period in which they can get food benefits. And then after that, they can get no more assistance for up to 3 years.
Wow. What about this idea or this issue of taking into account the cost of utilities?
So utilities are taken into account when you apply for food benefits. You go and you fill out some forms, or you can do it over the phone now in a lot of places, or online. where you list all your household expenses, like rent, utilities, and all the other things that make it more difficult for you to buy food. Right now, there are different levels in different states for how those utilities are taken into account. And again, what the Trump administration is doing is trying to impose a one-size-fits-all philosophy to the program and taking away states' rights, essentially, and then saying everyone has to use this same calculation. And for people who live in areas where the utility bills are higher, right now they're able to get more food assistance in order to compensate for that. But after the changes proposed by the Trump administration, they wouldn't be able to do that. Now, as you mentioned, both of these proposals, which are two separate ones, and there is a third one that's even a little more complicated, each of these went through a 60-day comment period, and hundreds of thousands of comments were submitted about both of these regulations. The vast majority of those comments opposing them. What's strange about the whole thing, or maybe it's not strange given the nature of the Trump administration, the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, former governor of Georgia, now he's the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is in charge of these programs. When he took office, when he was first appointed by Trump, he said, you know, the SNAP program, food stamps as we call it sometimes still, it ain't broke, so let's don't fix it. Everything is going fine. He had even been given an award for expanding the number of people getting food assistance who qualified in his state. And it only took a few months before he turned on a dime and immediately began supporting all of these proposals, which essentially come out of sort of the Tea Party wing of the Republicans. But other than that, these proposals have had no support. There have been no groups of people rallying out in the street saying, hey, we need to cut food benefits. In fact, these identical proposals, especially the one about the working adults, had been rejected by bipartisan rejection from both Republicans and Democrats in the last version of the Farm Bill from last year. So essentially, these ideas have already been rejected, and yet the president wants to come in and impose his will over that of Congress and the American people. So it's really kind of ironic because, you know, he's always claiming that impeachment is trying to overthrow the will of the people or of Congress. And yet, in fact, this is what they're doing with this food assistance.
So this particular idea then was implemented through a rule change rather than going through the legislative process. Will it be challenged or is it a done deal?
Oh, it's going to be challenged. You can bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a lawsuit coming out pretty soon because there are so many people who are hurt by this proposal. And it's not just the working people, as I mentioned, the part-time workers, people who can only find seasonal employment. What an irony, right? You're working seasonally, maybe helping pack things for Christmas for some of these big stores, and yet you'll be cut from food aid because it's not adding up to 20 hours a week. But think who else gets hurt are the retailers. Every $5 spent on SNAP or food stamps creates $9 in the local economy. Farmers benefit from this. It's ironic that while Trump is trying to pull money out to prop up the farmers after he's hurt them with the trade deals, now he's hurting them by taking away some of the food benefits that people get that they spend on food at grocery stores, at farmers markets, and lots of places. In fact, the economic stimulus effect of food assistance is one of the reasons why most of the states in the country had waivers on these work requirements, for especially during the recession that we just went through that started in 2008. Nearly every state put in waivers that meant that people didn't have to meet this 20-hour-a-week work requirement. They understood that people were having a hard time finding any kind of a job, much less a guarantee that you're going to work 20 hours a week. I mean, who among us is going to, if we need a job, is going to deliberately choose something that's under 20 hours a week versus over? So in effect, this rule is going to be punishing working people, or punishing people not because they don't want to work, but just because they're not fortunate enough to be able to find a job.
And as you were saying, the so-called gig economy these days has made just getting standard hours a huge challenge, depending upon, for example, if you're a rideshare driver, depending upon how many rides you might be able to get in a particular week, you may get to work 20 hours or more, or you may get far fewer hours. Or if you're a warehouse worker for Amazon, you might have a lot of hours through the month of December, and then it might completely drop off January, February. And so the economy that lawmakers have encouraged to be designed in this way by allowing companies, tech companies, to encourage this, is directly in contrast and contradiction to this sort of work requirement. Now, what about the states that rely on these food stamp benefits? Is there, do you have an estimate of which states might lose out more than others? And of course, California, where you are based, has a tremendous need for these food stamps. Do you foresee states like California losing the most?
Well, it's estimated that about 750,000 people nationwide are going to lose benefits as a result of this. And the estimates I've been hearing for California are about 70,000, or 10% of that.
Wow.
Now, states can provide an alternative to people working 20 hours at a private job, private sector job. They can provide what are called work projects or workfare or employment and training, and there's actually some money in the SNAP program for employment and training. However, neither the original rule nor this new proposal have a requirement that states offer work projects in order to help people be able to fulfill their work requirement. So it's like they're not even giving people a chance. And one can't even argue that making these changes are going to save a lot of money. The group impacted, the amount of money that's going to be cut is about $1 billion a year, which is something like, I think I saw 0.02% of the federal budget. And meanwhile, over $1 trillion in tax cuts was enacted by this
Right. I'm
president.
so glad you brought that up because those two things are linked. At the same time that the Trump administration is cutting food stamp benefits, it is quite happy to give away billions of dollars to wealthy Americans and corporations through their tax cuts. And they want more. It's not even enough. They want to enact a new set of tax cuts. So the federal treasury is being drained because there's fewer rich people paying into taxes. And so now they're looking to cut costs, which was their plan all along, right?
Well, that's right. This is an old plan. They don't really work on this as an idea of public policy. It's war. And so if they're hurting certain people, that makes other people happy, then that brings them more support from that side. An example of who also is being hurt by this rule in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, a lot of people, about 27%, report either not being hired or being fired or not getting a promotion due to their gender orientation. So they're also disproportionately impacted in this group of able-bodied adults who don't have dependent kids. So this is another way that the administration can attack people who its supporters perceive as their enemies. And again, it's weaponizing, in a sense, poverty. It's groups of people hostage so that those of us who care about everyone getting something to eat and about a human right of having food can suffer while we watch them just go ahead and do what they want. Even these each time these proposals come up, there's a 60-day comment period. This particular proposal came out in April, I think it was, and our comment period ended in June. Then there was a second proposal of a different type in September, and then the third one you mentioned about utilities, the comment period just ended on Monday. And each one of those times, of course, I have to wonder if they're just jerking our chain, because it doesn't matter how many comments were submitted against the proposal, they decided to go ahead and do it anyway.
Frank, you and I have talked about food stamp issues for years, and it's, the SNAP program is not adequate enough, right? Even the way it is, I recall when that program was first put into place, it was a step back at that time. And, you know, of course, this is a program that's been in place now for over a de for about a decade, I think, or, you know, at least 5 years. So it is a program that has benefited people. It could go even further. What are the ways in which the SNAP program benefits people? How does it keep people, aside from the economic stimulus part of it, how about the human health and well-being part of it?
There's a tremendous health impact, especially for kids. And even though this rule is aimed at single adults without kids, kids are affected too because there's other connections, such as non-custodial parents. When a child doesn't get enough to eat habitually by the age of 2, there are changes in the brain that will follow that child for the rest of their life. And this can manifest itself in various ways, from PTSD to a tendency toward obesity, because the body has trained itself at a very young age to hoard calories so that when there isn't a food, it's taking in more. And this is why people are having other kind of diet-related diseases. This is why in populations in poverty, in addition to hunger, you also see obesity and you also see diabetes. I think one in five teens is now pre-diabetic in the United States because of the kind of stuff that we're all eating. And so the damage that's done to that very young brain follows it throughout life. They have done studies from when the food stamp program first began in 1961. They followed people all through their life from a test group that they started with, comparing people in poverty, one set of which got food assistance and the other which didn't get food assistance. And the ones who got food assistance when they were young, they had better outcomes in education, in health, and even in their ability to get jobs later on in life. So hunger is something really serious, even if it's not something that you see. You don't always see someone like literally starving on the street, but what you see is a lot of silent hunger, and especially among kids, and that manifests itself later on in their ability to succeed. So damaging programs like this is just perpetuating poverty.
And of course, the Republican logic to cutting these benefits is that there are apparently millions of Americans who are taking advantage of government largesse and getting lazy and refusing to work because, you know, it's kind of impacting their work ethic to have free food thrown at them. I mean, how far off from reality is this bizarre and very cruel logic?
Well, that's pretty far off because, in fact, a large majority of the people getting SNAP are actually working. And what's happening is they're not making enough money to make ends meet. So, for example, even companies like Walmart are notorious for doing orientations to their employees on how to get public benefits, such as Medi-Cal, food benefits, and other kinds of benefits. This is a way that these big corporations are able to take advantage of government programs and use them so that they don't have to pay as high a wage to people. So it's got kind of a flip side to it. And I never met anyone getting SNAP who made it their ambition just to sit around and get food stamps all day long. Believe me, people want more things out there. They want a piece of a better life. And in fact, what you more often see are people just struggling to get any kind of work that's possible, even if it's under the table. And as far as issues of fraud goes, there's far less fraud in the food stamp program, first of all, than in most other programs. But second of all, since the switch from the paper food stamps to the plastic EBT debit card, fraud has been tremendously reduced. And it's nothing compared with the kind of corruption, embezzlement, and dealing that we see going on. Who knows, even at our federal government level, right? It's rumored that there are certain officials who are, we're hearing about emoluments clauses and things like that.
Sure.
So, I mean, what's the comparison there between somebody who's struggling to get a few dollars to try to make ends meet and maybe get a little bit ahead versus someone who's already wealthy and who's gouging all the rest of us?
And in fact, I want to play for you a clip of Kellyanne Conway, who earlier this week, pandered to working Americans because this is critical. On the one hand, Republicans will attack the programs that poor Americans rely on, low-income Americans rely on, but then pander to them politically for votes. This is what Kellyanne Conway said on Fox News in response to, which she was talking about one of the witnesses who was a Yale law professor on Tuesday during the public impeachment hearing at the Judiciary Committee. And the reason it's relevant to our conversation now is because of what she said.
If you, ladies and gentlemen, if you went to work today to manicure nails, to manicure lawn, if you went to work with a jackhammer or a welding machine or mechanics tools or a carpentry belt and not 3 degrees from Yale, that woman yesterday looks her nose down at you. She thinks that you are less than her. And I've had it. Do you know why that man ran for president in the first place? For the forgotten man, forgotten woman? You know why I'm still here at the White House? For you. For people who are looked down upon by people with 3 Yale law degrees, had the audacity to say that liberals like to cluster together and live together. Well, conservatives can't even stand to be together. That's why they're scattered. Who
Well,
the hell are you,
that
lady,
was Pamela
to look down
Carlin.
at half of the country?
And that's Kellyanne Conway saying, essentially, rhetorically to Pamela Carlin, the Yale professor, who the hell are you, lady? Justifying the person who remains in the White House. Because apparently he's looking out for the working American. I had to, stop myself from being sick listening to this, Frank. How do you respond to these, this kind of rhetoric?
Yeah, it's just more trying to get people to vote against their own interests. And this is an old trick that goes way, way back, over 100 years, during the Gilded Age after the Civil War, by pitting groups of poor people against each other, by getting people who are low income to look at other people who may be even less fortunate and just say, well, I'm doing my best, and that person over there, there must be something wrong with him. He's lazy. He's not moral. And so exploiting that kind of psychology has turned out to be a winning formula for the Republicans.
And as going as far as to say this billionaire whose goal is to benefit other billionaires is looking out for the little guy. It's just crazy.
I think all people need to do is look at the balance sheet from what his policies have been over the last few years, and you can clearly see it hasn't been Lunch Bucket Joe or whoever Kellyanne Conway is trying to conjure up an image of that has benefited from these policies. It's definitely been the wealthier class.
Frank, what should people do who are worried about this? As you said, we're approaching the holidays. This is a time when people traditionally tend to think about hunger and homelessness. The winter time can be a harsh time. And for those who have fewer means, it's a particularly stressful and difficult time. What sort of action can Americans take who want to be in solidarity with one another as they face these attacks from Trump?
Well, I think, keeping up with what's going on with policies like this, as each one of these proposals came up during the year, we were on the phone, emailing, going on Twitter campaigns to get people to submit their comments. And so thousands of people did submit their comments, which at least shows them that people are looking and listening and monitoring. Talk to your local congressperson and let them know that these ideas are not cool. What the president is doing right now is trying to override Congress. He's always complaining that impeachment is overriding the will of the people. He's overriding the will of Congress, which decided last year that these kind of proposals are ridiculous. And let's see if we can get Sonny Perdue go back to what he was thinking when he was first appointed Ag Secretary, that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. These programs are beneficial to consumers, farmers, retailers, to people. This program was so successful, especially during the recession, that for a while, SNAP was such a bipartisan success story. All the states, the red states, as well as the so-called blue states, they all had these waivers because they saw people need food to survive. And if you really want people to work, you'll meet some of their basic needs so that they can at least function as human beings and get to a job.
Frank, give out a website for your organization, Hunger Action LA.
It's hungeractionla.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Frank.
Thank you so much.
My guest has been Frank Tamborello. He's the executive director of Hunger Action LA, and we've been discussing the new rule on food stamps. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.